time for us to get into God's Word on the Morning Munch, as we do every day at this time, to give you some spiritual nourishment to get your day started right. And joining us this week, folks from my old stomping grounds, the old alma mater, Weinbrenner Seminary. I'd sing the school song, but I'm not sure we have one. But Dr. Bruce Coates joining us. He's the Academic Dean and Vice President of Academic Advancement. Dr. Coates, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. And no, I don't think there is a theme song.
I don't think we have a fight song for the for the seminary, but maybe I'll write one for us. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Dr. Coates, we do appreciate you joining us this morning, and we're going to turn things over to you and let you share what God's laid on our heart.
In Luke 24:21, it says, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Two men were walking evening of the resurrection. The air was brisk. It was probably about 50 degrees. They left Jerusalem, headed toward Emmaus, a town not far away. One was likely the father of James the Younger, one of the disciples. He had talked about the crucifixion, how they had watched it from the back of the crowd. His wife Mary had been up front with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They talked with confusion about everything that had happened. They believed that Jesus was the one. John the Baptist had asked, "Are you the one?" Peter had proclaimed, "You are the one." And these men had believed that he was the one. And now they were confused, discouraged. They didn't know about the resurrection. They didn't know that Jesus could walk right there with them. They had hoped that he would be the one to come and sit on David's throne, to establish his kingdom. Their cry echoes through the ages down to us. We had hoped. It resounds of hopes disappointed. We had hoped for a different outcome. I think all of us had hoped that COVID would be over by now. We had hoped our dreams would come true. We had hoped the report from the doctor would be different. We had hoped. Many of our hopes are what author Lee Strobel calls wishful thinking. They're not really grounded or rooted in anything. We just hope that something will happen. And then we wrap it up sometimes in spiritual-sounding language. We believe that God will be whatever we hoped he would be whenever we wanted him to be it. And then we get frustrated because those things we hope for disappoint us. And if the resurrection can't do those things for us, what good is it? It's just a fanciful story too good to be true. The resurrection of Jesus didn't keep the coronavirus away. It didn't bring the desired promotion. It didn't keep a loved one from dying. All things that caused us to groan inside, moaning with disappointment and grief. As Cleopas walked down the road toward Emmaus, he talked with one who would redeem Israel. Now the problem for them is the same as it was for us. We get a small point wrong. God said, "I will be whatever you need me to be, whenever you need me to be it, not whatever you hope for." He doesn't give us our wishful thinking. Cleopas was refreshed by walking with Jesus, even though he didn't know it was the Master. Jesus gave them his presence. They walked together in fellowship with the Master, going through the most confusing day of their lives. Some theologians say that their story is the perfect picture of worship, communing with the Master as we go through life. We know that Jesus only walks with us because of the resurrection. They didn't know it yet. They only knew that they had disappointment and their hopes were frustrated. Then Jesus explained it all to them. They arrived home. He broke bread and blessed it. And when he did, somehow they knew it was him. Because the resurrection, it turns us back toward hope. It turns out the resurrection doesn't guarantee all of our wishes, but it gives us life even when our hopes are frustrated. It gives us the presence of Jesus to walk with us. It gives us fellowship of one who knows sorrow and lives to tell about it. The resurrection may not stop coronavirus for reasons too complicated for right here and right now, but it takes his presence and gives us something that we can walk with him every day. When we're ordered to stay at home or whatever the case might be, we can have his presence right there with us. We are tempted to say, "The resurrection can't fix all our problems. What good is it?" In reality, we ought to say, if Jesus doesn't walk with us, to groan with us in our pain, to comfort, to uplift, is he really alive? Because we know his presence can reach us anywhere. We know we serve a risen Savior because we see his hand of mercy and we hear his voice of cheer. And he walks with us with his presence. Father, we are grateful this morning that your hand walks with us, that your presence is with us. We are thankful for our risen Savior who walks alongside of us through whatever we might go through. Whether or not we are able to go to church at the moment, your presence can still reach us. We can still worship you. We can still have you right there with us, knowing that you, as a risen Savior, live inside of us. throughout our day and throughout this week. Lord, we ask that you would walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Bruce Coates joining us. He's the Academic Dean and Vice President of Academic Advancement at Weinbrenner Seminary, my old alma mater. But don't let that discourage you. It really is an excellent school. And tell us about Weinbrenner Seminary.
Yeah, we're proud of all of our alumni. Weinbrenner has been around almost 80 years. We're a seminary in Findlay, Ohio, though you can access us anywhere. We've worked hard on making programs accessible from anywhere around the world. We have several online programs, including the Master of Arts in Practical Theology, which is a 43-credit, about a two-year degree. Helps people who believe that they have an interest in ministry and would like to explore that or become a little bit better equipped, or the person who's already in ministry says, I think I'd like to pick up a graduate degree. It's a great degree for that. We also have a Master's of Divinity, which is available online for those who say, you know, I think God has called me, and I know that I want preparation for that, and that is available online also. We have a Master of Arts in Clinical Counseling. Perhaps some of your listeners have been in some sort of helping profession and are considering a change to become a clinical counselor. We could help them with that. Our degree is it's a great degree. We have a great track record. It's a newer degree, but we have a great track record. 94% of our alumni from that program have passed the state licensure exam. 100% are employed in the field. And we have a Doctor of Ministry, which is available mostly online. We also have something that we're doing this year. We were the recipient of some CARES Act funds from the federal government, and we are using that to lower our tuition for this academic year. Student pays $300 a month, and they can take all of the classes for which they are eligible. $300 a month throughout the entirety of the year for 12 months this academic year. And they can take all the classes for which they're eligible. And it's been very popular because we've worked on being affordable and accessible. We think that if people have to come out of seminary owing $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 worth of debt, it'll be a lot harder to go take a ministry job. So we've really worked on being affordable.
Boy, we didn't have all that when I was there.
Well,
you guys are expanding.
No, and it's not retroactive. You know, that's a sad thing, isn't it?
Yes. I love my time at Weinbrenner, and one of the things I loved about Weinbrenner, I'm sure it's still the same, is that we had such a diversity of people coming from different denominations, and one of my favorite things in theology classes was hearing from, you know, guys who were Lutheran, guys who were Methodist, Churches of God, you know, and hearing from their different perspectives and why they, you know, believed what they believed, and to me that was one of the most beneficial parts of it, is just getting that broader understanding of the whole of God's kingdom.
Yeah, we have over 20 denominations represented this year, and so it is really very diverse. In the class I'm teaching right now on worship, we have very diverse funding. 17 students, I think, at least 7 different denominations represented. So when you get in conversations, you get a wide variety of people chiming in, trying to give you their perspective.
And if folks want to find out more information about Weinbrenner and the programs that you offer, how can they do so?
They can go to weinbrenner.edu, weinbrenner.edu. Our application is online. Information is online. If you would like to speak to somebody, there's a phone number on the website where you can reach us.
Dr. Coates, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been great having you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.